Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the Hammer from the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, and we're coming at you full throttle this fall, and it's going to come to a huge head in November. I'll get to that in a second, but in that full throttle mode, we're bringing rants, we're bringing interviews, we got a bunch of stuff loading up and ready to go, all for you, all for the fans, to keep you guys engaged and keep you abreast of what's happening in the rugby world here in the United States. And I've got a great guest today that really hits a lot of those boxes that I want to hit upon. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, let's just talk about what's happening in November, because the Rugby Rant's going on tour. It's a one-stop tour. It's happening in Chicago at Reggie's downtown prior to the All Blacks Ireland game, being put on by my guy, Norm Smythe, and it's Scott's coming into town. We have the Dan and Sheila Falcon coming into town. TJ Olson's coming into town, and we're going to get a bunch of people on our podcast remote from Reggie's, and we're hoping to get this sucker streamed so that everybody that wants to catch it can, either the day of or later on. But if you're in Chicago and you don't have a ticket and they're hard to come by, come down to Reggie's. You can watch the game from there. You can stay all day. It starts at 9 o'clock. It goes all the way into the evening. There's going to be live music. There's going to be the Rugby Rant. There's going to be prizes. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening. Reserve your table because if you don't, you might be locked out of that one too. So you want to make sure that you get involved, because it's going to be an absolute banger. So with that being said, let's get to the task at hand. We've got a special guest, as I mentioned. It's none other than Seth Smith, hooker for the former Houston Sabercats. We won't talk much about that, but he's got some great endeavors that we'll catch on the back end of our interview. Seth, first of all, how the heck are you, mate?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm killing it, man. I'm looking forward to, we've had a great summer and early fall with a lot of test match rugby. As of the recording, of course, I'm sure you and your mates at Life, you will probably be watching the women's final that's happening this weekend.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's some awesome rugby. I mean, Kildoon, holy cow. She is a player, dude, an absolute player for England.
I mean, there's some very exciting rugby going on.
And you got to love the front row play, especially out of England, right? I mean, you've got Boddingham, you've got Cohane. I forgot who their tight head is, but, man, as a front rower, you got to love the kind of rugby that you're seeing from the women in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, very physical. And the scrums as well. I mean, England has a phenomenal scrum. I remember watching a video, and it was the England versus France, and England destroyed France in the scrum, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, bro, roller skates. I mean, just roller skates. That front row of England is absolutely destructive in the set piece. And by the way, they can carry the load too with ball in hand. It is impressive. I think Cohane, something like that. Their hooker. I think she almost got an intercept pass and ran away with it. It was against New Zealand. It was pretty impressive. She's immense. But we're not here to talk about the women this time. We're here to talk about something, Seth, that you're involved in. So first of all, before we get into that, let's just break down this young man right here for a kid that's, are you 21 yet?
I am not, still 20.
He's still 20. He's a young man, but he has had a proper rugby education. And I'm just going to break that down for you. So for people that don't know Seth, they will know him after this interview. So first of all, Seth is joining us because he is the honorary chair of the Yellow Rose Sevens Showcase. We'll get into that a little bit, give you some dates, give you an idea of where and how you can find it. But I want to talk about Seth. This guy comes from a wrestling and football background, but at the young age of 11, he saw the game of rugby and said, yeah, that's something I want a piece of. And he's been developing his rugby skill set from the Katy Barbarians to the Sabercats homegrown pathway as a U20 player to the USA 20s. He is the youngest cap player in MLR history and the youngest player in MLR history thus far to make a finals appearance. And he'll talk about this later, but he's also right now studying at Life. Did I miss anything?
No, I mean, you basically hit all the really important points.
Yeah, I mean, like, and there's so before we get too far away from your CV and kind of what you've been up to, I know you've done some tours with the U20s. Can you just real quick talk about your experiences with the U20s and what you've done with them?
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. So last year I got selected and we went to Canada. In British Columbia, we played Canada twice as like our qualifier for the Junior World Trophy. And so we ended up beating Canada both games. And then got to come back home for
ABC.
About 4 or 5
Always beat Canada, bro.
Exactly. Always beat Canada. And so I went back home for like 4 or 5 days and we were back out to North Carolina. We had like another week long training camp. And then we took a flight out to Scotland. And that's where we played the Junior World Trophy. We won our first three. And then we actually lost the final to Scotland. But the environment in Scotland and just being a part of the USA U20s and being able to do all that was super cool. I mean, I got to meet a lot of really great guys. And, like, I played with the likes of Dom Bisag. You know, he's been starting with USA for the last year. Like, Rand as well, he got his USA call-up last year. He's still trying to get in the mix with everything like that. So it was a great, great group of guys and a lot of great rugby that was played.
I mean, really, when you think about it, again, we'll talk more about your career, but I don't want to stray too far away from this while the iron's hot. I mean, quite frankly, guys like yourself, guys like Rand Santos, guys like Dom Bisag, and we could name others. I mean, you guys are really the individuals that when the United States was awarded the World Cup, the guys that have that opportunity ahead of them. I mean, you're going to be that ripe age of what, 27 or 28 when the World Cup comes to our shores. And that's about when front rowers from the United States really hit their stride, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look overseas, like, what I've kind of noticed is a lot of hookers have, like, I guess you could say, like, their peak or their prime at, like, that 28 to 32 range is kind of what I've seen. So I think in 2031, I will be, like, 26. Cause I'll be 26, 27, because I'll be 22 this upcoming World Cup. And then I'll be right around the, like, 26 range. So hopefully I got 3 World Cups in me. But first I got to make it on USA. So like you said, we're just going to keep building towards that.
Yeah, get that first cap, and then have your mind set. I've heard this from several guys. It's like, yeah, the first one's nice, but the toughest one is the one that comes after that, the one comes after that. Right? Because you got to stay focused, got to stay on your game, right?
Exactly. I mean, with all the hookers that USA has had, I mean, like with KT, Shiloh, Caleb Geiger. I mean, there's even more to talk about. A lot of these guys are, you know, they're at like 28, like they're in their prime right now. So it's going to be very hard for me to get up on par with them as a younger guy, but I love the competition. So I'm excited for, you know, what's going to happen these next couple months.
100%. That's the attitude we need. Somebody that's hardened, that's grizzled, that's chomping at the bit to get us opportunity. I can't wait to see it happen, mate, because you are that next gen that is going to be hopefully on that team, you know, when the World Cup comes to our shores and I'm a freaking old-ass man. Well, I'm already an old-ass man, but I'll be an older-ass man. Not an ass man. Don't confuse me with Kramer. All right, so nevertheless, let's talk about why Seth is on. He's doing a whirlwind tour. It's almost like when Tom Cruise has a new movie comes out. He does the tours and goes and does all the night shows. Seth has been doing the podcast to promote a big event that I think needs some recognition. And that is, as I mentioned, the Yellow Rose Sevens Showcase. And just so people are familiar, this is a new CRC automatic qualifier. We'll talk about what that means in a bit. It's happening on February 28th and March 1st in Houston, Texas. I assume it's Sabercat Stadium.
So that was the plan, but with Houston shutting down, I think we're still working out. We're working out something for a new field, but I mean the grass in Texas is very nice. So wherever we end up finding it, it'll be perfect.
100%. So it's good to know. So stay tuned, folks, for more information. We'll talk about where you can get that information here in a moment. I just want to mention, because we're going to be tapping into this, the vision of the Yellow Rose 7 Showcase. And this is the first time the showcase has been put on as a qualifier. It's to grow the connection between grassroots and professional rugby. So as we get into that, you're the honorary chair of the event. How did you come to be involved with this showcase event?
So being from Houston and coming through the pathway has set me up as, I guess the best way to put it is kind of an example for younger people who are coming through, like you said, the grassroots and want to just travel up pathways and want to become professional rugby players. And so I was very lucky to be able to get into the mix and working with, you know, the chairman, with Jamie and all them, to really promote such a great tournament, because this is going to be a great opportunity for not only the young guys, but for college kids and coaches. So I'm very excited to be a part.
Awesome. So I want you to tell us a little bit more of the basic information. So for teams that either want to get involved, that are in the area, that can make that trip and participate in the qualifier, for fans that just want to get in on some college rugby action at the Sevens game, give us some information about and some background on, you know, what are the profile of the teams and what kind of teams are participating, you know, what are people going to experience? What kind of product are they going to see on the field?
So, yeah. So like you said earlier, it's an automatic CRC qualifier and there will be all four divisions. And so the teams will be able to come in and qualify for all four divisions for the CRCs. And so this is the second largest tournament behind CRCs. So it's going to be a big tournament. And so there's 55 teams from all over the country who are going to come in and play at this Sevens tournament. And so 18 teams that are coming in, around 18, played in the CRCs last year. So this is going to be a very high-level Sevens tournament, which has me super excited, because I used to play a little bit of Sevens. Now, I might not look like a Sevens player, but I used to play a little bit of Sevens. But yeah, so I mean, like the likes of Indiana, they've already committed to come play at this tournament. So that says a lot about the teams that we have coming in. There's more teams just like them who are going to be coming into this Sevens tournament.
Yeah, and you talk about Indiana. They just played Lindenwood last weekend in 15s, but Indiana has a great program at NCR. They're one of the top programs, especially in Sevens. I mean, let's not forget some MLR compatriots of yours, Peyton Wall, Noah Brown, both come out of that. And, of course, a young man that I coached when he was knee-high to a groundhog, literally, is Will Chevalier, is right now in Chula Vista training with the Sevens program. So, I mean, of course, you got Luke Gross, who's an American 15s legend, and you've got Nikki Taylor, who came from Lindenwood program, both coaching that program. I mean, they're not just an up and comer. They are a rock star in NCR for sure.
They very much are.
Yeah. So, do you have any idea, like, what are some of the farthest away states? So just so, you know, anybody listening out there might have an idea of, you know, hey, yeah, we could join in on that. We're not too far away.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have teams from the Northeast, and I mean, so like the Pennsylvania, I know it's in talks with a team from Boston. So we have teams from all over the United States who are going to come in and play at this tournament in Houston, which is super exciting. I mean, you're basically taking – it's basically going to be a national tournament. You know what I mean? Just right below CRC's. And then it's a qualifier for CRC's as well. So you come play at this tournament. Your team does good. You play well. You qualify for CRC's. And so – and on top of that, you get the showcase, which we'll touch on in a little bit, which is one of the things I am most excited for, being a young guy who was able to go pro through an academy setting. But – yeah, there's teams from all over the United States who are going to be coming.
Yeah, so real quick, you mentioned that it's an automatic qualifier. And again, the college landscape is, well, first of all, for the fans that don't know, there's kind of two different governing bodies. There's the CRAAs and the NCR, and they operate separately. And there are different member universities or collegiate programs that are a part of those. And CRA is run by USA Rugby, but NCR is used to be Nestro, the small schools. So let's talk about, you know, NCR. Let's talk about that automatic qualifier, what that means in the collegiate landscape. How does this CRC national event, or how does this fit into the CRC national event that's being held, I think, April 24th and 25th in Boyds, Maryland, which is, by the way, where the Old Glory plays.
Yeah, so with the tournament being in February, it'll be at the end of February, and I'm pretty sure it goes on to the first day of the next month. And, I mean, just being a qualifier, so it's like basically a warm-up to CRCs. And so you have your team come down, they play, they qualify, and then, like you said, right around a month or two later, they're going to play in CRCs for the national title. And so it's going to be super big for teams to come in and, like, it's like a preseason game. You know what I mean? Like, they will come in and just have some fun, play some great footy, and qualify for CRCs.
100%. I think that's an important piece, is this automatic qualification, the ability to prepare for the national event in Boyds, which is awesome to see. And you know, quite frankly, NCR has really embraced sevens. As it should. There's an opportunity an iron to strike there. I want to talk a little bit about this idea of a showcase. Can you explain again for folks that don't know what that means, and again, how it fits into the vision of the Yellow Rose Sevens?
Yeah, so what I think is the most cool thing about it is, so the showcase will be happening while the tournament is like in breaks, and like we're still integrating whenever the showcase is going to be within the tournament. But like, being a guy from Houston, I never really got recruited from teams up from the Northeast or the Midwest or in California and Washington, because these schools didn't know about Texas guys. You know what I mean? And so now you're allowing these coaches to come in to coach their sevens teams, to prepare for the nationals. And now they get to recruit players from Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, you know, all the states that are close to Texas and even beyond. And so now they get to come in and prepare their team to go fight for a national title. And now they get to coach. Now they get to coach and, like, I guess, find diamonds in the rough that they never would have knew about. And so that's the whole part of the showcase that I love so much about it, is now it's opening up opportunities for coaches to find these young players, but it also gives the players a chance to show themselves in front of college coaches that at a school they could potentially go to.
And you're talking about high school players, right?
These are high school and youth. So
gotcha.
We're mainly right now it's high school, but then we have some stuff that we're cooking up as well.
Got some plans. You got some schemes. I hear you. I love it. I think that's important to recognize, Seth. Like, you're right. There wasn't really a true pathway. And if we want to, as a nation, as a rugby playing community, we have to really develop and create these pathways so that there's a direct line that young players in high school, even younger than that, see a clear direction on how to get into a high performance structure. And I think it's true too, what you also said in that, you know, I know big time programs, you're at Life. My son went to Lindenwood, that sometimes Americans don't really get seen perhaps over and above some of those kids that are coming from rugby rich nations. And so providing college coaches with that opportunity to see some of these young talented players, that's the way we're going to see kids get into 15s and sevens, particularly 15s rugby World Cups in, yeah, you know, in 2035 and beyond that. Right.
Well, exactly. Cause it's giving, like I mentioned, it's giving these players opportunities to talk to schools and to be in front of schools that they've never probably known about. And these coaches didn't know about these kids. Mm-hmm. So now you're opening up opportunities for more rugby teams and for places for these kids to go to, these youth players to go to. Cause I mean, if I didn't know about schools overseas, it's schools across the country. And then now I get to play in front of schools across the country and they didn't know about me. Now they have a chance to recruit me. And so now instead of me just going to a smaller school in Texas, now I have a chance to go to Pennsylvania. Now I have a chance to go to Indiana.
100%. So, sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties here, Seth, Jimmy, Joe. I love that idea. I love that pathway. It's great to see it. And of course, I think one of the other great things about the event, if you check it out on their Facebook page, that's Yellow Rose 7 Showcase on Facebook. It's pretty clear that there are some commercial partners. Can you just tell us about some of those commercial partnerships that are being developed in conjunction with this showcase?
Yeah. So Two Fat Bastards, their meat pies, which I absolutely love their meat pies. So good thing that we got a sponsorship with them. And I think they will be a big hit. So, cause they were a sponsorship at Houston and they had meat pies at the game. And I know every single game they sold out. So that's a very exciting partnership.
If I'm not mistaken, Gilbert's on board too, right? They're supplying the balls for the showcase.
How could I forget to mention? Yes, they are. They're providing the balls. And so they will be our big sponsor with that. I don't know how I forgot it, but yes, they are a big sponsor of ours.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I mean, of course, Gilbert is the standard by which almost every rugby comp is, you know, using their balls. It's like Wilson in football, right?
Yes,
so it's played at the highest of levels, and you love to play with those Gilbert balls when you're, you know, playing youth footy with a, you know, size 3 or whatnot ball. So we have the, you know, the commercial partnerships is interesting, and not to get off on too much of a tangent, but, you know, probably way back when, this is probably when you were, oh man, you might've been knee high to a groundhog yourself. But when the Penn Mutual Sevens was going on in Philadelphia and Nestor was running that, they had some great commercial partnerships and they really made use of that. Here's what I'd love to see is showcases like this that are regional. And, you know, you have a couple showcases regionally that if you go in and a team performs well, you know, top 3 or top 4, that you have an automatic qualifier. But then there's a qualifying process if you then go to a couple other smaller like qualifiers. If you perform well, you can get into the big dance, right? And then use, you know, Two Fat Bastards or use some other, you know, commercial partnerships and say, hey, you get an opportunity to partner with not just this one event, but multiple events, get on t-shirts and jerseys and all that stuff. I'd love to see that kind of commercial partnership come out of NCR Sevens.
Oh yeah. I mean, sponsorships are always super great to have. And especially cause especially with Two Fat Bastards, like their meat pies are insanely good. Like whenever I was hurt, and I wasn't playing, I would get 2 or 3 meat pies just while I was watching the game. And so I can say,
putting them away.
Oh, it was bad.
Are they out of Houston?
Yes, sir.
All right. After we go off of production, I might have to just get a contact or get some more information from you because I can, the Rugby Rant's going to have to make use of this one. I probably shouldn't tell other podcasts about that.
Well, look, all I'm saying is if you have one, you're going to want at least five.
Yeah, you're going to have another.
Exactly. You're going to have more than one more.
Right. What they need to do is operate like the Girl Scouts. You go to the local dispensary and you hang out outside. You just sell meat pies right out the truck, right?
They would do a killing like that. I mean, they really are very good meat pies.
100%. All right. So let's talk about socials. We mentioned Facebook. You can catch up on all information related to Yellow Rose 7's showcase on Facebook at that address. Insta, what's the Insta social media access?
So Yellow Rose 7 Showcase on Instagram as well. That's where we post a lot of like our sponsorships, and we have like the tournament photographer and then also the teams that are coming in. So all the information you will need is on Yellow Rose 7 Showcase's Instagram.
And don't forget, folks, that seven's seven with an S, the number seven with an S, then Showcase with another S. So that's Yellow Rose 7's Showcase on Instagram. And, you know, is there an opportunity for sponsors to jump in if they want to throw their hat in the ring, or other teams to jump in if they want to throw their hat in the ring?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're trying to create, you know, the second largest tournament behind CRC. So whoever wants to come hop on board, we are very glad to have you.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. What about TV viewing? Will there be an opportunity to watch this showcase for somebody that maybe can't see it in person but wants to see the kind of quality of comp and see perhaps, you know, what are some of the top teams in CRCs?
Yes, there will be. There will be a live stream that will be going on during the tournament.
Okay, cool. Probably check out Facebook at some point when the event comes closer. Again, folks, that's February 28th, March 1st. It's out of Houston, Texas, automatic qualifier. Check it out. You know, this organization this qualifier is really hoping to link youth, high school, all the way up through the college ranks to high performance pathways for, you know, and so that young kids can see that same kind of pathway that Seth had an opportunity to see coming up as a youngster playing rugby. Let's turn our attention, if it's okay, Seth, I want to talk about you a little bit more, but more specifically kind of where things are at with you. I'm sure having come from the Houston Sabercats and been a stalwart in their program, not just their junior program, but their senior program now for the last couple seasons. We know that the Sabercats decided to pull out and close shop, if you will, in the MLR. We don't know what they have intentions of in the future, but clearly there's a white elephant in the room. I got to ask this first. Were there suspicions amongst the boys that something was going on behind the scenes and something wasn't right in Rockford?
Yeah, so there is never no concern for us not having a team in 2026. Like there wasn't many rumors I heard about, if any rumors. And we were told that we were going to have a team. And so I guess something happened on the back end that as a player I didn't see, and which led to us pulling out of 2026. But no, there was no doubt in my mind about, oh, is Houston going to have a team? Am I going to have to find a new team? It was always 2026. You know, we lost to the Free Jacks in the finals. Let's get back to the finals and, you know, try and win a championship for Houston.
So, yeah, and, you know, with that in mind, like I know that, again, you're a life guy. We'll get into that in a minute. But one of my son's good mates is Emmanuel Albert, of course, who's a teammate of yours in Houston. Everything I saw from E-Man on socials was that he was training, man. He was getting himself right and staying fit and ready to go, getting hungry, you know, to get back and play another season and get back to that final game so I can – I know how hard you guys were working down there and getting ready for the next season. I got to ask, how did the lads find out that this was the end of the road for the Houston Sabercats?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure all of our, I guess, experiences were the same. Like, we all got calls from the head coach and from staff that saying, hey, we're not going to participate in 2026. And then obviously we all saw the Instagram post. So we did know beforehand, which was nice to be told I guess it's not nice at all, but it was cool to have a little bit of, I guess what the best way to put it is, a little bit of time to process what's going on before it was officially announced. Because, I mean, it was, we got called, me and my girlfriend were at Ross because I was trying to find a belt for work. And I get the call from Poets, and that's whenever he told me what was going on. And I remember I just looked at her and I was like, we need to get out of here. I'm trying to go home. I got practice in a little bit. Like, it was so hard to process everything. And then after practice, that's whenever they officially announced that we weren't going to be in 2026. And it definitely hit it hit hard. You know what I mean? Like you said, coming through the pathway, like I was with Houston since I was 14. I started playing U18's Academy at 14. My senior year, I played the Academy while also playing with the men's team, and then got my call up to be with the Sabercats. So I've been with this organization for almost my whole rugby career, if you really think about it and you really look at it. I've been with them almost my whole rugby career. And then now they're not going to be in 2026.
Well, I can feel for you, my guy. I mean, I know what it's like to play for a club and only know of one club, and how much heart and soul and how much of yourself you put into that, not just your own work, but also relationships and to, you know, the investing in the community and getting involved in team activities and things like that. And it's got to be just a devastating news. Were you guys told in person?
We were not, because everybody was already dispersed. We were all like I was already in Atlanta, and some of the boys were already overseas, because a lot of boys have international duties. So they were already gone. And then I'm pretty sure the boys back home that are still in Houston now were probably told in person, but yeah, we were just all over the world at that point.
Gotcha. So, on the back end, two questions. So do you have an official cap from having played your first ever test? I mean, I shouldn't say test, that's reserved for internationals, but first ever, you know, official match with the Houston Sabercats. Do they do that in Houston?
No, I wish. I really wish.
Oh, well, okay.
I would have it. Okay. I would have it framed. I would have it framed yeah, of course, in my room. I mean, they're so cool, but yeah, you know, we do not.
Well, I just saying, the Hounds, every new guy that comes in, first time to play for the Hounds, they get an official cap. It's pretty slick. It looks good. It's, and they make a big deal out of it.
Trust me, I've seen them. I've seen them. They're very nice.
Yeah, they do. They do it right. They do it right. So, in all honesty, though, so moving forward, was the plan for you always to go back to life and play in the fall semester, to play your rugby there and get some training? And get some, you know, more playing time with life, university's program?
Yes, sir. Oh, it definitely was, because last year was my first year, and then I came back this year. And this year, like, especially with Blake Bradford, the USA Scrum coach, I mean, him really running the show here. And then Coach Lucas, he was LA's S&C. And so we really have a depth of coaching experience here at Life. And the ARP is basically another pro season outside of the pro league. It's a little, like, it's not going to be as high as MLR, but you definitely play some, like, this Saturday, we played Tomas Caceres, the Miami's, like, or the former Miami lock/back row, plays for the USA Eagles. Mm-hmm. And, like, last year we played with Alex Mon. He played on our team. And I know since USA qualified, a lot of those guys are going into the ARP now. So we're going to be playing a lot more USA Eagles and a lot of ex-pro guys and current pro guys. So I always knew that to better my chances in the MLR for each upcoming year, I need to go find a high level of rugby to play. And so I ended up staying at Life.
Nice. Yeah, you're not wrong. Like I saw Mystic Rivers as a competitive team, of course, Cam Davidovitz, Moni Tungawea's up there having had Noah Goldfolding. There's a few other lads that have played in the league that are playing with Mystic River. So, you know, they're in the ARP. Now, on your side of things, how many years at Life do you have left?
So I'm a sophomore right now. So okay. I want to go for my master's in business association. So probably around three to four more years, I'm assuming. Well, I want to take summer classes as well. So it might be a little shorter, but it's kind of in that range.
Gotcha. And they, are you going to be allowed to play, you know, are you going to be allowed to play if a team comes calling with an MLR team and then play a, next fall with Life? How does that work for fans that don't know?
Yeah, so because the season in the MLR kind of ends in June, late June, early July-ish, depending on however they did the season this year, because with all the teams folding, it's kind of, it's going to be, they're going to have to find a perfect little window for the MLR. But yeah, I don't have to report here until really August, early August. So by the time the MLR is done, I have a couple weeks off and then we're rolling into rugby here.
Nice. So you have an opportunity to, it's always good to get different experiences playing for different coaches, getting different advice, especially as a front row forward, you know, just honing and tweaking your skill set and your scrummaging ability, because it is such a technical position.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, especially because I was working with Poete Human. I mean, we all know about his track record as a coach. And then getting to work with Blake Bradford, the USA scrum coach. So I get that the former Springbok coach for the men's side, you know what I mean? Like the big dogs. And then I get the USA national coach as well. And so I get best of both worlds.
Right. Now I'm going to put you on the hot seat here for just a moment. I'm springing this question on you just out of the blue. So bear with me, but I got to ask this question because we've talked about coaches that you've played for, that you've learned from, that you've honed your skills with. Obviously as a hooker, it's not just being in the scrum. There's a component there, but there's a technical piece, of course, and the other set piece, and that is line out. For fans that are new to rugby at the international level, and I think it holds true for the MLR, about 23-26% of all tries are scored as a result of a line-out maul and try, right? So, you know, you're sitting right about a quarter of all tries are scored from a line-out into a maul. And so line-out throws are critical importance. So I'm going to throw this at you. I'm curious. I got to know. So you're a free agent. There are seven teams that are still in the league. And I'm sure you know and have lined up against a number of hookers that are on other teams. Who's that one guy, that one hooker that you would love, that's kind of a senior, that could be a mentor, one guy that you would love to play with and learn from and even develop and hone your skill set more so from, that's in the MLR?
Yeah, so there's a couple. I mean, like the likes of Liam Coltman. I mean, played for the All Blacks. He's at Utah. I mean, I would love to be able to learn from him. And then the Butcher. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, I even talked to him, like, after we played Chicago the first time, because I actually started against him. Me and him played head-to-head against each other. Mm-hmm. And after the game, me and him were talking about, you know, USA Rugby and my pathway, and he was just telling me, like, he was coaching me after we just got done playing a game. And so I would love to learn underneath a guy like him. And then even like the prop slash hooker and Caleb Geiger. I mean, with him being able to play both, with me being primarily a hooker, he can teach me everything that he likes to scrum with as a prop for whenever he scrums with hookers. And then he can teach me what he likes to do as a hooker scrumming with props. You know what I mean? So there's a wealth of experience in the MLR, and there's so many guys that I would love to learn behind. But those are really three that I could really learn behind.
Dude, you've done your homework, bro. You've done your homework. Liam Coltman, he was a monster last year, just an absolute monster, hitting dimes down the middle of the line out and then taking them in rolling balls and scoring some serious tries. And, of course, You can't beat Butch. I mean, that man is class as class can be. He's one of my favorites, and I could totally see him doing that. Be willing to teach you, be willing to teach that next gen, knowing that he wants to turn over that jersey, hopefully, to somebody like yourself, to represent our country. So it's awesome. Love to hear that stuff. I got to dig deep on this last question here, just about your experiences. Obviously, being from the Houston area, you kind of have a unique experience in having as you mentioned, you know, going from playing in youth with the Sabercats, coming all the way through that pathway into the academies in the U20s, and then going into the seniors. I just want to pick your brain. How might the loss of the Houston Sabercats impact the high performance rugby pathway in the Houston area?
So it hurts me to talk about it because I love this Sabercats organization. But so me, for example, I was the first player to come through the U18s to men's to pro. But from our men's team, I know last year there were 6 players that were signed from the men's team. And that's a lot if you really think about it, you know what I mean? With all the guys from overseas coming in and other guys from MLR teams that have folded the year before, we signed 6 players that came from the academy side. And I know a lot of the guys I played with were doing the U18 stuff, and they were fighting. Like, we had a couple guys go from U18s to the men's club, trying to work on to become a Sabercat, trying to work through the pathway that I worked through. And so there's going to be that loss, the loss of these kids who have been fighting so hard to play with the U18s, to play with men's, to then play pro, who wanted to come through the pathway. Because at games afterwards, I will have all these high schoolers and youth players coming up to me. Hey, Seth, how'd you do it? What'd you do? Like, I'm joining the academy team soon. I'm so excited. Like, will you be helping us out with this? And so there is so much buy-in from these youth and high school players who wanted to be in that pathway. And so now with Houston, you know, folding, we lose the U18s. We lost the men's club, and then now we lose the professional team in Houston. So it definitely is a very big shot to Houston, like as a rugby whole and as a community. But it's just, it's definitely devastating.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's devastating to the rugby community as a whole in the United States, unfortunately, because we don't really have a Southern, you know, a team in the Deep South anymore, you know, with NOLA gone and, you know, Dallas going away years back, and, you know, Austin before them, and Miami leaving this year, and Houston leaving. I mean, there's that dearth where there's some really good rugby, and there's, you know, I know Texas Rugby Union, shout out to a couple of my guys down there who are in that organization, do so much, and it's a huge swath of youth programming that's going to, you know, there is a loss of that opportunity, as you mentioned. So one last question for you, Seth, and then we'll let you get back to your studies there at Life University. And while on that note, of course, Life plays in the CRAAs, and so you played in a high-level collegiate competition where it is a 5 to 6 days a week. You're rolling with the boys. You're doing something, whether it's S&C or being on the training pitch or being in a game. But you've also been in that high-performance pathway associated with an MLR team. You've trained and played as a senior, of course, with the Sabercats. For kids that are up and coming, what are the differences between these two pathway experiences?
Sure. So I'll talk a little bit about Life, and what I have come to love so much about Life is we all, like, the culture of Life between the DC, the varsity, and the club, we all come together. We're one big family. And it really is a professional environment. Blake does a very good job. Blake and Lucas do a very good job of running the program. You know what I mean? Like, it reminds me a lot of Houston. The way practices are set up, the way that they run things, it's a very professional setting. And I think that is a testament to why Life has been so successful, is because it's ran properly. It's a properly ran program who has done big things in the past, and I see the future for Life just keep getting brighter. I mean, they lost, like, for college, they lost in the 15s national championship to Cal, but they got there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a step towards building still, and, like, you can always build, you know what I mean? And so they just do a very good job, and they do such a great job of running this professional setting for college kids and guys who want to play high level rugby. Like, whenever I talk to anybody, like a youth player who's coming up to want to play in the pro leagues, it's you go to those schools that will develop you. Like, it might be hard to play your first year. It might be hard to play your second year. But by your third year, you're a starter and you're one of the best players in the country. And so that's what I think. Life does such a good job of developing players to become great professional rugby players.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry, I was just actually looking up because I think it makes some great points, not just about life, although I got to tell you, life is a class organization. It's a class university. It's a class program in CRAA, no doubt about it. I mean, they've won sevens national championships. They've been extremely competitive in 15s national championships. I think Cam Dolan won a national championship in 15s with life back in the day. But they're one of probably, I don't know, 6 to 8 programs, maybe 10 if you stretch it, that are high-performance collegiate programs operating at 15s with the CRAAs. And we talked about IU, just to give everybody an idea, because I get this question quite often, and I don't want to dig too deep into the weeds here, but like Indiana just played Lindenwood last weekend, 71-3 was the score. And it just gives everybody an idea. And Life beat Lindenwood last year, by the way, right? It was a very competitive match. But Life beat Lindenwood last year. And they run neck and neck. That just gives you an idea of kind of that difference in 15s between the CRAA programs and where they're operating versus some of the NCR programs. And it's not to dismiss the NCR programs. And IU, they're great. It as you said, there's a bit more of that high performance training environment on a day-to-day basis, right, Seth?
Yes, sir. I mean, even if you look at like some of the guys who are in USA U20s, and I know they did U19s, there's a lot of players from Life. Like, I played with two of them. Whenever I did U20s, I played two of them, Jordan Vassell and Logan Ballinger. That's three Life guys who played on USA U20s together. And then I know there was a couple boys this past year, because there was no U20s, they did U19s. I know there was a couple boys who played on USA U19s. And so Life is developing players to play for their national team.
Yeah, 100%. It's great to see. And, you know, whether it's the academy pathway programs that are existing under MLR teams, or whether it's these high-performance pathway programs, either NCR or CRAA, you know, kids, if you're listening and paying attention, you could probably reach out to Seth on socials. How will they get a note to you on social, Seth? If they want to ask you some questions about your process and about your advice as, you know, somebody's experience going through that pathway.
Yeah. So on Instagram, one and only _Seth, you know, if anybody has any questions, I'm so open to talking about my story in helping players really find what they want to do. You know what I mean? If you want to be a professional rugby player, I can talk to you and I will help you. I'm very open because I have so much passion for rugby and I have so much love for the game. I'm willing to help.
And Seth, I love that. You know, it's great to see that kind of passion manifest itself into somebody who really wants to help the next generation, the next youth. Again, you know, I always saw it as you always want to turn that jersey over, whether it's a Life University jersey or a U20 Eagle jersey or a senior Eagle jersey. You want to turn it over to the next generation and know that it's going to be held with the same esteem, reverence, and honor, and done, and, you know, held it with the same amount of respect that you held it with. And I know that just like Butch is looking to give you advice and help you develop, I know you're chomping at the bit to get that next generation an opportunity to do the same. But Seth, it was awesome talking with you. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk about the Yellow Rose 7 Showcase. Again, for folks that don't know, that's February 28th and March 1st in 2026. It is a CRC automatic qualifier, going to be in Houston, Texas. Stay tuned on details and socials. That's Yellow Rose 7 Showcase on Instagram and Facebook, Yellow Rose 7 Showcase. Again, sevens with an S, Showcase, new word, and check it out. Stay abreast of what's going on. Seth, first of all, I want to thank you so much for joining me in the Rugby Rant. We have to do it again sometime. Hopefully it's with a new MLR team that you're showing your skills. And I wish you all the best with Life University, except when you play Lindenwood. Sorry, I had to throw that in there, mate. But I wish you all the best, and I appreciate it. And all the best to you and Jamie Uten when you guys are running this tournament in the spring.
So thank you. I really appreciate you getting me on the podcast and let me talk a little bit of rugby. You know, let me rant about rugby and a little bit about myself. And so thank you for letting me get on.
I love it. I love it. Maybe we'll get to talk again up here in Chicago. Maybe week after week. Maybe it's, you know, just a couple times, but hopefully we get to see you again and have a good chat about footy.
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me.
All right. Good luck to you, mate. Thank you very much for joining, folks. And that'll wrap it up for a great conversation with Seth Smith and all about the Yellow Rose 7 showcase. Don't forget to continue to join the Rugby Rant as we get more rants going on and we get more interviews, great interviews like this one with Seth Smith of Life University, of Eagles Youth 20s, and hopefully beyond. Don't forget to join us at Reggie's in November if you're in Chicago. It's giving me an absolute gas. That being said, we aim to grow rugby one fan at a time, and we'll see everybody at the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.